This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 2172. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, above all the dynamic medium of international shortwave between the AM and FM bands. On this edition, recorded January 5th, Andorra, Antarctica, Brazil, Canada, China, Cuba, Europe, Israel, Kaliningrad, Christmas Island, Korea South, Mongolia, Myanmar, Netherlands, Nigeria, Oklahoma, Palau, Peru, Russia, Turkey, UK, USA, Vanuatu, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer. Christian Gibaudot tells the British DX Club about the next broadcast of old material from Radio Andorra on the air Sunday, January 8th, as always in French, called Carte Blanche à Georges Chelon. It's at 17 until 19 UT on Sunday on 7220, but no longer from Austria, instead via the Gavar Armenia transmitter site. Checking via Argentine remotes for LRA 36 Antarctica, but no signal around 15 UT Saturday, December 31st, or Wednesday, January 4th, on 15475.98, reduced carrier USB. So I suspect they are in their midsummer hiatus, maybe off for a few weeks. Ben Dawson of Hatfield Dawson Consulting Engineers says thanks for playing the recording last week of Radio 9 de Julio, 9819 plus, their shortwave ID. Even our Brazilian engineering colleague was unaware that they were still operating shortwave. Starting December 31st, I found no signal from CHU, time signals from Canada, on 7850, reduced carrier USB. Yet the system status page on their website at nrc.canada.ca showed no such outages since last May. Don't you believe it? The other two frequencies were still running, 14670 and 3330. Finally, Richard Langley in New Brunswick says, on January 3rd, the page has been updated. I received a message from the technician in charge saying both 7 MHz transmitters had failed. I'm working on them now and hope to get at least one operational soon. And in fact, they were back on the air by January 3rd at 21:43. China Nan, the CRI English relay via Cuba, 5990 during the 23 UT hour, was also putting out a harmonic on 11980, January 2nd at 23:19. It was quite audible but undermodulated, much stronger on 5990. Something's always wrong at Radio Cuba, and something's always wrong in particular at Radio Havana, Cuba. Same things we keep hearing week after week, perhaps most notably this time, still mistuning the 5040 transmitter to its second harmonic, 10080. Heard as early as 2210 UT, January 3rd, and as late as 0725, January 4th. Little signal, if any, on the fundamental 5040. This week we had a report of Europowered Harmony Radio, believed to be in Ireland, on 14960. Not positive of that, so this time I'm filing it under Europe. But we do have a report of it, 14960. December 27th at 1546 to 1610, Harmony Radio heard in English with relaxing music and a jingle ID. Fairly good signal, says Zdeněk Iliash in the Czech Republic via DX fanzine. He says maybe it's in Spain. Israel deleted its external shortwave service many years ago, but now we can hear it again thanks to WRMI. Ivo Ivanov, Observer Bulgaria, notes that it's now on the schedule, 15770 AM Northeast, daily in English at 05 to 06 UT. KAN, Israel Public Broadcasting, that's K-A-N, as it is now known. Via RustyX, this from the VCFM.ru forum, that Mayak is broadcasting on 549 kHz, heard December 27th. It's from the Kaliningrad Radio Center, in that exclave separated from the rest of Russia, center number 5. With a second transmitter and a new frequency for testing, 549 kHz. A few days earlier, short turns were made to test the operability of the restored antenna in the transmitting complex. Tests at reduced power, 50 to 70 kilowatts. The antenna is a mast with a height of 257 meters, previously used on longwave 171 kilohertz. There's no specific schedule for 549. Testing can be carried out on weekdays during business hours, that is from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Moscow time, and such a conditional schedule is also valid for the other frequency recently active from Kaliningrad, 1143 kilohertz. I continue to enjoy hearing here in deep North America, Oklahoma, even though it's just a barely audible carrier from Christmas Island, south of Hawaii, Christmas Island, on 846 kilohertz. Almost every night, when I check after 07 UT, I can detect that carrier and perhaps none other in the 9 kHz split band scans I perform. I was hearing it, for instance, on December 29th and 31st and January 2nd and 4th. There is simply no other explanation for the source of this carrier further into the Pacific or from the opposite direction, transatlantic. And on an above-average night, I also hear a just barely audible carrier on 1017 kilohertz, and that points to A3Z in Tonga. And it's already sunset there at 0626. Oops, did I say Tonga? It's Tonga. Rick Barton in Arizona heard a Korean broadcast on 4560, December 28th at 1230, identified by paralleling as a new frequency for Voice of the People, the clandestine from South to North Korea, because it matched 4450 and 6600, interference with CODAR swish swoop radar pulses, but no jamming. So that's a new frequency, and not to be confused with a North Korean station, which used to be on 4557, probably why the clandestine moved close to that area. Ron Howard says this has also been confirmed by Amano and Hiroki Komatsubara as Voice of the People's new frequency. And Ron heard it on 4560. How long has it been there on its seventh frequency? At 1416 UT, December 28th. Their six frequencies before, also heard on that date, were 3480, 3910, 3940, 4450, 6520, and 6600. Checking again, January 4th at 0910, Ron Howard heard all seven frequencies, some of which were jammed and some of which were not. The three which were jammed were 4450, 6520, and 6600. Now the other station, Echo of Hope. Ron was monitoring that January 4th at 0723 on 9100, starting an audio feed from a TV program which was Beginner's English. The other frequencies, 3980, 4885, 5990, 6250, and 6348. These, of course, may jump up or down 5 kHz or so from one week to the next. I often hear at least a carrier on 9095, 9100, or 9105, which I know has to be Echo of Hope at various times during the day. Now, lots to report about Mongolia, both domestic and external. Ron Howard reports January 2nd at 0918 to 0940, Mongolian Radio 1 on 7260. He says the first day I've noted their reactivation with decent signal strength, totally overpowering Radio Vanuatu, also on 7260, causing some interference for Mongolia. There were announcers at 0918 to 926, and then indigenous music and singing. Thanks to Hiroki Komatsubara in Japan for determining it is Radio 1 programming. This caused Radio Vanuatu to move by the next night off 7260, details about which later on. But back to Mongolia on 7260. It seems Mongolian radio was experimenting with different scheduling, says Ron Howard. Hiroki Komatsubara noticed them on 7260 just after midnight UT. The January 2 schedule, heard in Ron's original report, was perhaps a one-day trial only. About Voice of Mongolia, the external service in English. This from our world radio affiliate, Global Community Radio, Jake Longwell. I heard your reports about Voice of Mongolia repeating the same program over and over on WRMI, and maybe even their own shortwave transmitter. I want you to know that VOM is still producing new English content 6 days a week, and it may be accessed via this link, www.vom.mn/en slant broadcast. He says, I'm not sure why the same program has been airing in endless repeats on shortwave. Perhaps WRMI can access the new files via this link if they want to resume relays. Also, you should know that Global Community Radio is offering VOM's daily English broadcast, UT Monday to Saturday at 0600, on the same stream which carries World of Radio on Sunday nights, GCR1. I'm proud to offer many more relays of international broadcasters in English on Global Community Radio during the late evening, overnight, and early morning hours. The complete schedule is at globalcommunityradio.blogspot.com. And there is even more about Voice of Mongolia from Alan Rowe's listening review column in the December issue of the Naswa Journal, the Sunday music show on the Voice of Mongolia. I don't normally cover programming that I only heard via a radio station's broadcast archive, but I listened to their Sunday music show of 6 November. They've started a new biweekly series within this program titled Mongolian Literature. The current series is The Secret History of the Mongols, from the oldest surviving literary work in the Mongolian language. A 13th century work tells of the life and work of our Genghis Khan, one of the world's outstanding figures. This was episode 4 of a 15-part series, so plenty of time to join the series. The next broadcast dates are expected to be January 15th and 29th. The readings are liberally interspersed with some great Mongolian music. Very enjoyable. On shortwave, if you can pick it up, Sundays at 09 UT on 12085 and 1430 on 12015. Or online as mentioned at www.vom.mn/en/broadcast. In the Naswa flash sheet, Rolfus W. Perry in Illinois reports on Myanmar radio via Nai Pi Dao on 5914.99. December 31st, a surprisingly nice signal tuning in at 1305 with a mellow pop ballad. At 1306, extended announcement by a sweet-voiced YL in Burmese over orchestral music. No trouble from co-channel CRI today. 1309, more mellow choral music with orchestra. 1330, a C&W-like theme, and then YL talks over and around. 1314, pop theme in Burmese YL into lengthy narrative until 1319. More MOR orchestral music and YL soloist. He says, still holding up okay at 1324 when there was an ad with rock bass line and a male speaker. And more of the mellow pop music show from 1326. The signal finally started to drop out by the bottom of the hour when the YL took over, closing a bouncy tune and launching into the usual 8 p.m. news show that's at the top of the hour in Myanmar. On Sunday, January 1st, I confirmed the mighty KBC from the Netherlands at its new time and station, WRMI relay, on 5950 after 22 UT. I fear that as the days get longer, reception will get worse on this particular transmission if they don't move to a higher band by A23, if not sooner. I found Voice of Nigeria on the air most nights when checked after 07 UT, just below 7255. Not in English then, but usually dead air or just barely modulated. But they were managing to modulate more or less efficiently on December 30th and 31st. Other dates heard almost every night through January 5th. In case anyone cares, I keep track of the comings and goings of the aeronautical beacons on medium wave and long wave from Oklahoma. Situation as of January 4th and 5th. Off the air, 515 kHz PN in Ponca City and 350 RG at Will Rogers World Airport, Oklahoma City. But still on the air, 341 EI in Enid and 255 SW in Stillwater. Via kilohertz, megahertz, and gigantic hertz, World of Radio 2172. A non-commercial service like our website, worldofradio.com. Thanks this week for financial support from William Hassig in Illinois, who sent a check to Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK, 73702. One may also contribute via PayPal, not necessarily in U.S. funds, to WORADIO@yahoo.com. Besides the shortwave broadcast station on Palau, Over the Horizon Radar is coming, Many thanks to Walt Salmaniv, who got this item from the UDXF group. It originated in a publication called TheDrive.com. U.S. building advanced over-the-horizon radar on Palau. It's published December 30th, written by Emma Helfrich and Tyler Rogaway. You might want to read the entire article as it explains the different forms of over-the-horizon radar. Subheadline is, the long-range radar could be critical for keeping an eye on Chinese activities and is another sign of growing U.S. vigilance in the Pacific. Progress is being made on deployment of a new long-range OTH radar system for the U.S. Air Force, stationed on the Pacific island of Palau. News comes as the Pentagon's push to drastically beef up both its offensive and defensive capabilities in the Western Pacific gains steam. Called the Tactical Mobile Over-the-Horizon Radar, or TACMOR, T-A-C-M-O-R. The sensor station will be installed on the increasingly strategic island of Palau to enhance air and maritime domain situational awareness for U.S. and allied forces in the region. The Department of Defense announced on December 28th it had awarded a $118 million contract to Gilbane Federal, G-I-L-B-A-N-E, for construction of reinforced concrete pads and foundations in support of the TACMOR equipment. Work is expected to be completed by June 2026. Readily available info about TACMOR outside of DoD documents is slim, so the War Zone publication has reached out to the U.S. Indo-Pacific Command, that's Indo-PACOM, for more about the development effort. While they offer much lower fidelity than many of their line-of-sight counterparts, OTH radars make up for it in huge range, hundreds of miles to thousands of miles, commonly 1,500 miles, by bouncing their radio waves off the ionosphere to a coverage area where they hit targets and return the same way to the receiving station. Another type of OTHR, using the conductive salt water of the ocean and a radio wave's propensity to bend around curves under the Norton principle, to propagate a radar wave over the horizon, often referred to as ground wave. These have far less range than skywave radars, but they also don't have a huge blind spot closer in, not relying on bouncing off the ionosphere. With a range of a couple of hundred miles, they can still be very useful in tracking ships, low-flying aircraft, and cruise missiles far below the radar horizon. Pairing skywave OTHR with surface wave can provide a more complete, layered picture of the situation nearby and far away from a given installation. Palau may be getting both, or at least one system for closer-in monitoring, in addition to this longer-range system. In fiscal 2023 Air Force budget documents, they're described remote unattended transmit site consisting of 10 elements and high-power amplifiers, transmitting high-frequency skywave OTHR waveforms. A separate receive site will also be remote and unattended, made up of 128 dual monopole antenna elements, receiving the OTH reflected energy. The received site also features secure facilities for signal processing and real-time target extraction information. Well, there is much more in this illustrated story I suggest you read. Of course, to the shortwave listener, we are concerned about OTH radar because these will likely cause more interference to our listening with rat-a-tat-tats on who knows what frequency ranges. Peru has only 5 shortwave stations left on the 60-meter band. At least those were reported last year, according to Tropical Bands Monitor. But that's more than most Latin American countries. The following report does not mention shortwave. It's only about AM and FM. It comes from PeruTVRadios.com via Medium Wave News. Peru has held a public tender to assign a total of 88 frequencies, 73 FM and 15 AM. But only 43 frequencies were awarded by the Ministry of Transport and Communications. The city that had the most applicants was Espinar in Cusco, where 13 bidders competed for 5 frequencies. In Arequipa, the town of Cayoma, 10 bidders participated for a single frequency. The highest amount offered was for a frequency in the town of Cayoma, Chivay de Arequipa, for an AM frequency, offering 101 kilosoles, approximately 22 kilopounds, for the 1530 kilohertz frequency. And Rusty X reports about pirate radio again on 1575 kilohertz. Sergei Weidenbaum in Latvia reports it December 26th at 0434. with better reception than ever. Music songs in Russian. Another report, December 27th, says, after a long absence, a pirate appeared again on 1575, a New Year's gift for everyone who missed domestic radio piracy. It's running one sesquikilobot and heard in the Leningrad region. And then Sergei got a reply, apparently, from the station itself, dated 20 December, from Vadim Komarov. Broadcasting is planned to resume only on 1575. The anode transformer has been repaired. Signal power 2 to 3 kilowatts. Height of the antenna, 30 meters. Broadcasting on HF-3940 is not yet planned. There are no resources for this, and there has never been support. And Weidenbaum reports another Russian station, December 27th at 2330, on 1752 kilohertz. In fact, been hearing it for more than a month. But there is long fading. Content similar to the Vesti FM radio service, but no IDs heard at the top of the hour. In the NASA flash sheet, Ralph S. W. Perry, Illinois, on the station ironically called Radio Recep Erdogan, the Turkish jamming station against Dengue Lot. He heard it December 31st at 1333 with a monster signal, 40 hertz above 11540. Vocal duet, strings and drum accompaniment, a love song from the sound of it. Not the usual army guys smoking and singing lusty fighting songs. They seem happy, despite the target station, RDW, being on 11580, giving credence to my developing feeling that this one is now taking on a new non-jammer persona as a Turkish troop morale station, something like Al-Azam Radio for Saudi troops on 11745. Via Mike Barracliffe and Alan Pennington in the British DX Club, Radio Today reports that Absolute Radio will switch off all AM transmitters in the UK in January. They say only 2% of listening in the UK now takes place on AM. The Absolute Radio website says from January 23rd, we will no longer be broadcasting on AM radio. That's at planetradio.co.uk. There are several frequencies, but the major one is 1215 kHz, which of course used to be a BBC frequency until Absolute took over, and it had been a prime transatlantic DX frequency to North America, being an even split. Last year's WRTH showed 10 Absolute transmitters on 1215, ranging from 20 to 63 kilowatts, many of them 50 kilowatts. This led to a lot of discussion. Selim Alpuvan says, this is an absolute joke. In my opinion, medium wave and long wave should not be shut down. They work and maybe not the best quality, but coverage and range is very good compared to FM and DAB. Walt Salmanov in BC says, that will certainly be a shame for West Coast North America DXers. 1215 was very much a barometer for transatlantic activity, and at least when it was 500 kilowatts, a very powerful station. On weekdays lately, WRMI has generally been turning off 9955 around 15 UT. But last Friday, December 30th, I was pleased to hear it's still on past 1600, so World of Radio could be broadcast at 1530, but it seems we cannot rely on that. Give it a try anyway. As of January 5th, WBCQ's primary frequency, 7490, was still out of order, and programming schedule there was appearing on 5130 instead, including World of Radio, Wednesday at 2200. However, our other broadcast on 5130, when it's Radio Angela, UT Saturday at 0500, did not appear after 1 minute due to some scheduling problem, and probably will not be heard again this week either, says Bill Tilford. And the third broadcast on WBCQ, yet another substation, Area 51, did not appear UT Monday at 0400 on 6160, but it did appear half an hour later. So stay tuned if necessary. Also, during Alan and Angela Worldwide, UT Saturday, December 31st at 0100, temporarily reactivated was WBCQ on 3265. Via a nearby remote, I found it constantly varying on the plus side between 136 and 186 hertz. George McClintock of the Real WTWW has sent me a number of photographic evidence and comments about what he and his son have been doing, trying to get the station back into proper operational condition. I'll just read a few of his comments. Rusted air filters in the Harris SW100 number 3 transmitter. The number 2 air conditioner run without filters, and the others are dirty. Dirt everywhere. 5 burnt number 1 transmitter power modules found in a box stripped of parts. Note dirt in plastic water container from number 2 transmitter boiler. This is the level of David and Ted's water maintenance. Door on number 2 transmitter would not open. Locking mechanism was upside down and backwards. It now opens as it should. It took 2 hours to get it right. These go back over the past month, and on December 16th, he says, taking every WTWW problem into account, it is my opinion that the entire transmitting facility was on the verge of a total collapse. This is typical of the remaining power cards after a cleanup and before adding the switcher module. 4 more modules are burned up. We are short 7 burned up or otherwise power modules for transmitter number 1. A number of small control cards are also missing, and what I have are severely damaged. As of December 31st, all modules are up and running, all 48 lights. Number 2 transmitter is now capable of 105 kilowatts. Switching modules were found in the junk pile that Ted thought were bad, but not so, and were used to get the transmitter up to full power. The number 1 transmitter will now run 80 kilowatts. However, 12 of the modules are missing and only 4 burned up remain and are being repaired as of now. Burned up as they are makes it very difficult and time-consuming to fix them. Ted was not concerned about the high electric bill because he was not paying it. He could not turn off the tubes and water pump using up electricity 24 hours a day when he was not actually transmitting his music program. He was burning up the tubes and other parts, reducing their life expectancy. This explains why the electricity bill was so high. Paul Staup in the Minnesota DX Club from the Kelloland website in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. KDLO towers have collapsed. That's their relay station near Watertown in northeast South Dakota due to an ice storm. This was on both physical and display, Channel 3, with 14 kilowatts ERP. It used to be a frequent sporadic E analog DX presence. And now Vanuatu continued from Mongolia. Earlier, the appearance of Mongolian radio on 7260 heard by Ron Howard on January 2nd. Since this was interfering with Radio Vanuatu, I notified Adrian Sainsbury of Radio New Zealand as he appears to be their frequency advisor. And by the next day, Vanuatu had moved off 7260 back to 3945, producing harmonics on 7890 as heard after 0700. However, on that date, January 4th, Ron Howard says, Vanuatu went off 7260 at 0659, but no Mongolia was to be heard even later on. Only a faint carrier from presumably China on 7260. But at 0659, Vanuatu came up on 3945 and the harmonics. I was still getting a JBA carrier from them on 7890, January 5th at 0733. The propagation outlook from SWPC, G1 minor storm conditions likely, on January 19th with ANK indices peaking at 25 and 5, and on the 26th, 28 and 5, but low conditions of only 5 and 2 from January 8th to 16th. Solar flux rising from 140 January 10th to 165 by January 24th. With thanks to all our contributors and stations, Glenn Hauser concluding World of Radio 2172 with a standard disclaimer.